Between now and the November 6th general election, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested races for statewide office and for congressional seats to join us for interviews here on Central Time and on The Morning Show. You'll be able to find all of those interviews on wisconsinvote.org. Today we talked to Mike Gallagher. He's running as the Republican incumbent for Wisconsin's 8th congressional district seat, which includes Green Bay. Representative Gallagher, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, first of all, what do you see as the most important issue facing Congress from the perspective of your constituents in the 8th Congressional District?
Well, you know, honestly, the question I hear the most from people, and it really is it's both sides of the aisle and people in between, it's something to the effect of, you know, why can't you guys just work together and get stuff done in Congress? And I think the fact that Congress has a 12% approval rating suggests that the biggest issue, the one that affects all the other policy issues, is the dysfunction itself. It's the way in which the institution has become a shell of its former self, has surrendered a lot of its constitutional power to the executive branch, and isn't doing its job. That's why I founded the Reformers Caucus. That's why I joined the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is equal parts Democrats and Republicans. And it's why I believe, regardless of who wins in November, we then have a critical discussion about how do we get Congress working again. And it's why I work so much on congressional reform issues. And incidentally, that's stuff that, you know, even, you know, Bernie Sanders supporting progressives who may disagree with me on a lot of stuff, we can find common ground on.
There seems to be a dueling pressures here. The questions like you're hearing, why can't you work together? But if either side reaches across the aisle, they get pressure from their own base, their own supporters who criticize them for trying to compromise and work together. Do you feel that pressure?
Definitely. I remember one of the first radio interviews I did when I ran last time, which was my first election, I think the first question I got asked was, you know, compromise has become a dirty word. A lot of people criticized your predecessor for reaching across the aisle. How do you feel about that? And I was kind of shocked and surprised. I mean, you know, the framers and founders created a system where you have to be willing to work together, where no one gets 100% of what they want. And, you know, I'm a conservative and I have conservative views, but there's a lot of issues, too, where the traditional spectrum of left and right, I think, has been turned up and tipped over and it's upside down. And so, you know, I think if you approach this job with the mindset that it's about service, it's about a season of service, not a career, then that pressure you feel goes away, right? You're never going to get it right 100% of the time, but I just try and focus on, you know, how can I improve lives for, you know, hardworking families in Northeast Wisconsin? And, you know, I just try and listen to the bottom up wisdom that I get from the people in Northeast Wisconsin.
Let's dive into some specific issues that are in the news now that'll still be out there in 2019, I imagine. This week we saw high deficit numbers, a big jump in this year's, the fiscal year's annual deficit. What would you want to do to tackle the annual deficit, the growing federal debt?
Well, at some point, well, it gets to the process issue I mentioned before. We can't continue this process of waiting to the last second and then having gigantic omnibus bills or shutdowns and continuing resolutions. I put forward a proposal saying Congress shouldn't be allowed to go into recess, go on vacation until we actually restored regular order and did budgeting the right way. But then if you look longer term at the budget picture, you know, we're only fighting over 30% of taxpayer money. The rest is just going out the door every single year without any review. And so at some point, we're going to have to get serious about how do we control costs for health care. You know, what are we doing to shore up Social Security to make sure it's there in 20 years? Because if we do nothing right now, there's going to be a big cut. And so it's going to require men and women of good faith on both sides of the aisle willing to sit down and have an honest debate. We don't have to agree on everything, but in order to get that budget under control, in order to get the deficit and debt under control, that's a conversation we're going to have nationally. And if we just have a bunch of money flooding into all our elections every year, killing people, attacking people for these issues, we're never going to advance the ball down the field, I fear.
One concern that's been raised, particularly by Democrats, was the tax cut bill that passed earlier this year that contributed to a decline in corporate tax revenue, which was part of this increase in the deficit. What do you think about that that tax bill and how it's factored into the deficit?
Well, my understanding is that revenues, at least in the last projected quarter, are up. Certainly, it's my belief that money should be kept in the pockets of American citizens, and the less money that we have being filtered through a series of special interests in Washington, D.C., the more economic growth we're going to have, which is, you know, I referred to that economic pie before. unless we want to make very brutal decisions between various programs, the best strategy we have going forward is actually to grow the total pie. And so in my opinion, less taxes will help do that. Now, it's early going right now. This is the first year of it. I also think there's some really innovative stuff in the tax reform proposal, like this concept of opportunity zones, which will allow private capital to flow to distressed areas in Wisconsin, which could help over the long term. But listen, I think it goes back to the overall spending picture of we keep spending more and more money on a variety of things. Some of them aren't working right now, so we need reform. We need transparency. We need to get an understanding of where all the money's going first before we can figure out where to allocate things, and we can stop funding failure, and we can start reinforcing success.
Talking to Representative Mike Gallagher, incumbent Republican in Wisconsin's 8th congressional race. Representative Gallagher, in the news this week, U.S. relations with Saudi Arabia. House Speaker Paul Ryan said if Saudi Arabia is found to have killed missing Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, Congress would look into imposing sanctions on the kingdom. Some of your colleagues, Republican colleagues on the Senate side, being even more emphatic about that idea of sanctions. Is that something you would support doing?
I think it would trigger sanctions under the Magnitsky Act. This is a key moment for Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince. Since taking power, he's done a lot to help modernize his country in the right direction, that is for sure. But we have to be honest and acknowledge that this isn't the first incident that's a cause for concern. Last year, there was a kidnapping of the Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri, to the arrest of women's rights activists, to the Saudi diplomatic spat with Canada. There have been troubling events, and MBS, as he's called, has the potential to be a transformative leader, but he needs to play his hand carefully. And I don't think we help him, and we certainly don't help our moral standing in the world by turning a blind eye to this. Now, I've spent a good deal of my adult life in uniform working in the Middle East with our allies, and I'll be the first to admit that our allies can be problematic at times. They're not perfect. Oftentimes, we don't share their values, and we have to work with some unsavory people to advance broader strategic concerns. But again, the whole point of having close relationships with countries like Saudi Arabia is to be able to nudge them in a better direction. And we can't abide by abhorrent behavior like this if indeed the facts come out that confirm they were behind it.
Turning to trade, the Trump administration has imposed tariffs on Chinese goods, as well as those from Mexico, Canada, and the EU, aluminum and steel foremost among them. What do you think of that strategy on trade?
Well, I think you have to distinguish between two lines of effort, right? There's the so-called Section 301 trade activity, which is getting tough on China. I think, by and large, that has been a long overdue step. I think that's a welcome step. But it's really China's non-tariff barriers that are of concern to us. Their applied tariff barriers are higher than ours, but they're still not that high. It's things like intellectual property theft, forced technology transfer, other predatory practices that concern us. But that's been a good story. I've been very critical of the second line of effort, which is the Section 232 tariffs. These are the steel and aluminum tariffs for a couple of reasons. One, if you actually look at the tariffs our allies have, ours are higher if you across the board on average than the EU and Canada. The second is I'm really concerned that our farmers, our manufacturers and farmers in Wisconsin are going to get caught in the crossfire. But the third thing is even if you disagree with me, if you disagree with the notion that tariffs are taxes that pick winners and losers and distort the free market, as I believe, okay, fair enough. But the fact is Congress surrendered this authority to the executive branch as part of a trade liberalizing measure. And I just don't think it holds water for the White House and the executive branch to say that we have a national security threat posed by steel and aluminum from other countries. I think that strains the bounds of the statute. And so I think Congress should be in the business of clawing back some of this authority. It's why I introduced legislation that would require Congress to vote on these tariffs. If the White House wants to impose them, it would be retroactive for 2 years. And I have a disagreement with my own party on this. That's fine. The Constitution divides powers for this very purpose. But to me, it's clear under the Constitution that Article 1, the legislative branch, has the authority to regulate commerce with foreign nations.
Let's turn to immigration, a long-running story in Congress without a lot of action from Congress over the years. What would you like to see in 2019?
Well, I voted for a bill that I thought, wasn't perfect, but I would have fixed a lot of the problems. It would have had robust border security and not just a physical barrier or a wall, but also technology, personnel. I was fortunate enough when I was on active duty to spend some time working for the Drug Enforcement Agency, spent some time at the southern border doing counter-narcotics work. The fact is the border is not secure. We have to other fact is that it's not just a matter of border security. Most people coming in our country illegally are doing it by overstating their visas. They're not, you know, crossing the Rio Grande in the dead of the night. So it's a more complex issue. But I also think, you know, we have to have a system that's flexible enough where if people want to come here legally, if they want to be part of this awesome American experiment, if they want to pay their taxes and one day become a citizen, we should say, amen, that's great. That's part of what's made this country great, particularly at a time when, you know, we're struggling to find workers, the dairy industry, the ag industry is struggling to find workers. So we can do that while at the same time saying we should make it difficult, if not impossible, for people to come here illegally. So I just would encourage my colleagues to kind of maybe depoliticize this a little bit. Let's have a more open and honest discussion. And I got to believe we can fix this thing because our immigration system is totally outdated, it's backwards, and it's hurting us economically.
Briefly, your thoughts on health care before we let you go. Another huge topic.
Yeah, I'll solve it all in 30 seconds. Health care is a huge issue. I mean, I probably hear about that besides what I mentioned before, most from people. I have worked across the aisle with a Democrat from Colorado to introduce a bill demanding transparency and pricing from insurance companies and hospitals, because it's my fundamental belief that no matter what you feel about, you know, the broader question of how we finance health insurance, until we as consumers of health care, until we as patients can decipher our hospital bills, until we can understand what we're paying for, we're never going to get the power back where it should be, which is with patients and doctors working together. Instead, that power will continue to shift upwards into big insurance companies, big hospital conglomerates, and that's the complexity that really disadvantages patients. So I think transparency is a key first step. I also would like to see states have a little bit more flexibility to experiment with different delivery systems, because I believe, you know, we're lucky in Wisconsin to have some of the best health outcomes in the country. We want to preserve what's unique about Wisconsin and also have the humility to say that what works for us in Green Bay might be different than what works in Madison or Milwaukee, let alone Manhattan or L.A. And that's the whole genius of the laboratories of democracy. That's what's made our country strong over the years. And so, again, and I know it's a highly politicized issue, but we need people to work together on it.
We'll leave it there. Representative Gallagher, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
That was Representative Mike Gallagher, a Republican who represents Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. He's running for re-election. Tomorrow at this time, Brown County Assistant District Attorney Beau LeJoyce, the Democratic candidate in that race, will join the show. You can find all of our candidate interviews and learn more about the candidates and races at wisconsinvote.org.